To reason with someone is to motivate them to do or accept topics, ideas, and issues through discussion and having conversations.
This podcast is about the relationship with ourself and the relationship with others, finding our stability and our self-worth, and how do we actually be in healthy relationships. We find this out through connection, compassion, and communication. Reach out, connect with me, like, subscribe, comment. I want to unpack whatever it is that we can to really get to the nitty and gritty of finding out how do we get better in ourselves and how do we get better in our relationships. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have, oh, there's a motorbike. Okay. Just leave it in. Fuck it. Today we have Charles Missy. He is a shadow work practitioner who specializes in inner child work. He's the co-founder of Tribe Up, an online healing community that's mission is to guide people back home to themselves, restoring peace and calm back into their lives. He's also the co-founder of Bondi Sunset Music, a sober tribal dance party that's mission is to reconnect people back together through dance and music without substances. Charles believes in a holistic approach to healing while discovering ways to have fun and find joy throughout the experience. All right, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. So good to be jumping on here again. I am very honored and very grateful to be sitting here with Charles today. How are you, Charles?
Good day, Jackson, and hello, everybody. I'm doing very well. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm stoked to have you. Really loving all the content you've been putting out lately and just going, I need to up my game. I need to make some better reels.
That's it, brother. It's I think the beautiful thing about us comparing ourselves to others gets a bit of a bad rap, but I think the beauty of it is it can show us what's possible and inspire us to activate parts of us that perhaps are there lurking and lingering, and they're like, hey, you know, let me come out and play. I want to express myself in a similar way.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's the inspo of like, I'm pretty funny. I'm going to do some of this content as well. So, yeah, definitely inspiring, man.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, let's jump in. Why not? Who the hell are you and what do you do, Charles?
All right. Who am I? Well, I'm life force being transcending through this universe, living through every moment to moment, just like you all. But my name is Charles Missy. I am a therapist and a coach. I am the co-founder of Triba. Triba is an online shadow work program where we facilitate people going through their healing journey. We focus a lot on inner child work in our program. I'm also the co-founder of Bondi Sunset Music. Bondi Sunset Music, it's a sober dance party using tribal instruments and African, Brazilian, Middle Eastern percussion that I hold space in Bondi every week. And the aim is to reconnect people through dance and music without the use of drugs or alcohol, family-friendly event. So that's what I do a lot of the time. Bit more about me. Should we just jump into my story now?
Yeah, bro. Hit me. I'd love to know how the hell do you ended up doing all of those cool things, man.
All right. So I grew up in Western Sydney. By the age of 8, my parents got a divorce and I was raised by a single mother. She had 4 kids. I was the man of the house at 8 years old, really underqualified at the time. And then through my experience from that point, I found, I had to grow up a bit quicker and started to adapt in these ways that really started to shape my personality and the way that I operate. From that point on, we started to experience some pretty, there were some pretty tough times at that point. We grew up in housing commission. There was a lot of scarcity, a lot of stress. My mum would be on the phone to government housing and people that she needed to pay bills for. And, she was living week to week and had no money. There was times where we didn't even have enough money to buy food and just basic necessities and things like that. There was times where, some of my best friends at school, I would go with them, every year you'd go and buy like pencils and
Yeah.
You know, it's all that sort of stuff, like before union exercise books and stuff. Like I remember like I'd have to go with them for them to buy me that sort of stuff. And so there was a lot of scarcity and stress during that time. I held a lot of anger towards my father and experienced a deep father wound. That then you know, was brought into my teenage years, and I was very aggressive, very angry. I was the kid going to anger management at school, punching doors, getting into fights. Grew up in a pretty rough area where there was a lot of people experiencing probably the similar type of stuff. And a way in which, like, an adaptation as a way to deal with that was to formulate a group identity, so get yourself involved in a group where you could feel more safe and secure with, you know, with each other, and also to navigate the threats of other groups as well around. So
that's such a nice way of saying I was in a gang when I was young.
And we also had to carry weapons as well to navigate through the opposing group's weapons to counterbalance it.
The thing we used to do was sign our names on certain buses and or trains.
To ensure that our hierarchical status would be expressed through the local collective. So that was like a lot of the teenage years. Then it all kind of hit me when I got into a fight when I was 16. Me and a really good friend of mine, I'm still really good mates with this guy now. We got jumped by a larger group of older guys, and it was over something, you know, really stupid at the time. And I was just there to support my friend, and we got smashed. We got fucking obliterated. And then I remember after that, I just felt really insecure about myself. Because it's like, fuck, I'm supposed to be the man of the house, and how am I going to protect my mum and my sisters, you know? I can just get bashed so easily. Like, I got knocked out, and it was the first time where I just really felt really weak. So then after that, it, like, spurred, like, this like, rise of the hero moment where I was like, okay, I've got to fucking do something with my life, you know? I've got to get off the video games. And I was addicted to video games 16 hours a day playing World of Warcraft. Yeah, addicted to porn, watching porn multiple times a day, no drive, no direction, messy room, dirty, just like that was just my reality, just like on the computer, angry outside. And then I started boxing. So I signed up at my local boxing gym, started training, and that was like the first thing that I did that was like involved discipline, structure, commitment. Like it was like a place where I could embody that that masculine energy, like release that emotion. There was other men there that I could look up to and I could relate to as well, because they were, you know, probably guys that went through similar experiences to me. So that was the first thing that I did that really got me off on the right path. And then from there, I started seeing results, started feeling my body getting stronger, started getting more confident. Like, oh my God, if I do this, I achieve this outcome. It's possible for me to achieve things, you know. I am worthy of achieving things. You know, I just started getting that realization, because I sucked at school, sucked at sports before that. And I never had that connection with those things and motivation to do those things. So, yeah, bro, that was like childhood, teenage years. After that, you know, I'm like got all the physical stuff down pat, but early 20s got into my first proper relationship, and it was just like, you know, had no fucking idea what I was doing. Couldn't have a challenging conversation to save my life. Didn't know how to regulate my emotions. A lot of things were coming up where I just didn't know how to navigate them. Like I'd get triggered by something and I'd just freeze up and get cold and wouldn't say anything for days. And internally I'm like, why did that trigger me so much? Like I didn't know what was happening. And then she'd get distant, and then there'll be an emotional outburst, and then that would breed resentment, and then would gradually disconnect. So I had no idea what was going on there, and these old wounds that were resurfacing. And
for sure.
When that breakup happened, I didn't know how to deal with it. I was, you know, depressed for like a year straight afterwards, and I just decided to go and travel to get my mind off it, just to give myself something to think about. Like, okay, I'm going to go to South America. I'm going to, you know, go do the Inca Trail and go to Brazil, New Year's Eve. That would make everything better. So I went and started traveling when I was about 22, and it was cool because it started to open up my mind, like the classical, like, man, you know, I went to the Amazon and there was jungle people, and I went to Brazil, went to the favelas, and it really put things into perspective for me about life back home. Started having all those realizations. And from that point on, bro, I was working as a PT, working with people, helping people, traveling every year. And I started going to some pretty cool places, started traveling to Africa, climbing mountains, Pakistan, like going to the border of Afghanistan, you know, going through the desert in Namibia, like going to the Middle East, like doing a lot of
cool,
real off the beaten track style trips. So I was just loving it. And at the same time, I was really passionate about helping people as a PT. And then that just kept growing and growing. And then through my travels, I just started to realize, like, spending time with a lot of these people in these villages and these tribes and rural communities, like there was some real things missing in our culture back home in Australia.
Yeah.
With family connection, like just being out in nature, movement, you know, eating good food. Like, bro, I remember when I was in Nepal, I was hiking through the mountains and there was a landslide that smashed through this village and like six people died. And then we were walking through the following day and there was a grieving ceremony going on.
Wow.
And I never heard of these sort of things. A grieving ceremony is literally all these people in this room all weeping and yelling and crying. And I was like, fuck, that's different. I've never seen that before. Like, you know, we have funerals and things that you might get a few people crying and tears, but these are people like actively channeling this energy somatically through their body and releasing it. It's just like a normal part of their culture. So a lot of these things started to shift my perspective on mental health, emotions, like, you know, nature, food, family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back to Australia, I was working in the CBD. You know, it's high stress. You know, it's everyone's busy. Everyone's overworked. Everyone's, you know, suffering from sleep deprivation. Everyone's on their phones all the time. You know, there's a lot of that going on. I really just started to be like, this actually isn't normal. Like, there's some things missing going on here. And then that's when I started to get all holistic and spiritual and like get into meditation, breath work. And I started to tap into that myself and use some of these modalities myself. And when COVID hit, bro, I was doing that for 8 years. I had a great business, being a personal trainer, being a coach and helping people a lot and helping them deeply with.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like I realized that, you know, the reason why people were overeating, overworking, overstressed, over drinking, you know, it all stemmed from deeper issues.
Yeah.
And because my passion was to help people, I wanted to get to those deeper issues, but I didn't have the skills at that time to be able to support them with that because me, I was just like a PT. But through my studies, that's when I started to study different courses, read loads of more different books, get deeper with myself. It started to motivate me more to be like, okay, there's this thing called trauma or emotional wounds and things that happen when you're a child that shape your adult life. And it just started to come to me. And then when COVID hit, that's when I decided to step fully into it and let go of my business.
Yeah.
So I studied coaching. I studied hypnotherapy. So and then I started practicing it. And since then, bro, I can't even tell you how many hours I've done because I already had so many PT clients. And then I was just like working with them in that way. And I just started to get more and more and more and more experience, and then people getting huge breakthroughs, and you know, people that had seen all these other people before me, and I'm like, really? Did you have that breakthrough with me? So I just started to get more confident as a coach and someone who can support people in that way. I opened up a studio in North Bondi where I was doing this work one-on-one. We had sound healings. We had like conscious dating nights.
So good.
We're doing all these sort of workshops there. And then, then I decided to create Triba. Triba was the online program and been doing that it's been a few years now, and I'm just doing this full time now, bro. So there's the story.
Thanks for sharing, dude. Man, what a fucking vibe. What a time it's been for you, man. I love so much of that because a lot of people aren't able to witness those differences in our societies. You know, it's like even just that grieving, you know, people freak out when people like bellow or like have big hysterical moments or whatever. I'm like, oh, what's going on with that guy, you know? Yeah. Rather than they're like, oh, yeah, he's having a good release there.
Yes.
We better go join him or hold his hand, and then that will help me release from my grief, you know? Yes. And that's just not here, you know? Well, I guess it's pioneers like you kind of bringing it here. And it's not New Age shit. It's been years and years.
Bro, think about how long humans have had the ability to cry.
Yeah.
It goes back for hundreds of thousands of years. Like, this isn't just some new thing. Like, it's a natural pain relief that the divine intelligence within our nervous system has gifted us to be able to process loss. Like, it's mm-hmm. there for a reason.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the thing. People, like, we talk a lot about adaptions. It's like we've adapted out of things as if it's some sort of important evolutionary thing that's taking us further, where actually a lot of that stuff is not taking us further. It's taking us further away from what we're needing. So Triber, it's about the shadow work. Can you touch on that a little bit more? Like you said, there's this like underlying stuff that everyone has, whether they're aware of it, ready for it, willing to do anything with it. We've all got our experiences. So you started to find that was the access point to be able to get to some of that deeper stuff. Can you explain how you would kind of describe shadow work?
Beautiful. Shadow would just be like a figurative way to express the parts of us that we're not consciously aware of. Mm. So for some people within this work, or just in general, they resonate more with metaphorical and figurative language, hence why we have religious ideologies, spiritual ideologies, and whatnot. Now, for some people, the ideologies of religion and spirituality can get a bit too intricate in the story, in the narrative, where it goes further away from them being able to process it as logic. So for me, and I'm like that as well. So for me, shadow work has been great for me because I sit higher on the spectrum of someone who's creative and mm-hmm. I love the fantasy stories, and I like to understand how this human experience works in somewhat more of a metaphorical way. It helps me understand this story of life. So that's why the shadow work resonates with me quite well and mm-hmm. a lot of people that I work with. So the shadow is just a term used to describe the parts of us that we're not consciously aware of. So if someone was to do shadow work, they would go in seeking to understand parts of them that they are not aware of, that parts of them that have perhaps been repressed and pushed away and rejected mm-hmm. and ignored and denied for mm-hmm. a period of time as a way to protect them from feeling emotional pain, which would be some undigested life experience that at some point in their life they did not have the capacity, the faculty, the awareness, the skills to be able to process and feel and digest at that time. Mm-hmm. So it remains hidden within the shadow, and the way that I guide people with shadow work is also getting them to understand their shadows as different parts of them that have yep. individual sub-personalities and see the world differently and feel differently and think differently.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I think when a lot of people are doing this type of work or struggling, because we have an ego and we're identified with our ego, what can happen is when we can't differentiate ourselves from our ego, it can be really hard to understand why we're thinking, feeling, and behaving in certain ways that is not aligned with our ego. It's like, you know, why am I self-sabotaging? Why am I doing that behavior? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't help me. It just makes me angry and anxious and, mm-hmm. and all these certain types of things. So with shadow work, it helps you bridge that gap between, you know, what you're consciously aware of about yourself and how you identify yourself and other parts of you that are there operating out of your conscious awareness and contributing to outcomes in your life and connecting with these different parts of you. And then learning how to integrate them back in to your mm-hmm. conscious awareness and use them in a way that may be better serving for you
mm-hmm.
And have a better relationship and learn how to coexist mm-hmm. with these different parts of us. So they're not in the shadow anymore. They're not pushed away. They're actually seen as a form of light
mm-hmm.
In our lives. So
Yeah.
That's one way to summarize it.
It's a pretty freaking good way of summarizing it, mate. I think that's awesome. Okay. It sounds, I guess, I will repeat back what I heard. You know, not as good way as you, Charles, but that, like, making the unconscious conscious, and then being able to sort of, yeah, shine a bit more on those darker blind spots or hidden parts of us, and then, yeah, finding that peace within some of them. And, yeah, I think what I love about that is changing the way that we see and have relationship with it.
Correct.
And I think a lot of that work, as you've kind of talked about online which I do a lot of work myself in, is a big part of that is that inner child part, or that wounded part of us that experienced that rejection or abandonment or loss or didn't receive what they were meant to receive or receive things that they shouldn't have received. And I think that connection to that is there's this lonely little boy or girl waiting, just not sure who's coming. And when we're tapping into that part of ourselves, that's generally when we're triggered. It's like, that's what's showing up. You know, this like 5-year-old, 6-year-old that, yeah, might have had to be a parent too early and doesn't actually know what the fuck they're doing and getting overwhelmed really quickly and stressing themselves out. So how do you integrate a lot of that kind of stuff into the realm, or is that kind of the path that a lot of people end up on in that shadow? Obviously, it can be other things, but is that a big component of it?
Good question, bro. The way I like to intertwine the inner child and the shadow is during our early developmental years, that's when we are formulating our worldview externally, but also our perspective of ourselves, which means that during this time, we are referring to who we're attached to during our vulnerable years, and we need to have these bonds with to ensure that our basic human needs are met and we can survive. And then during these bonds, and not only with our caregivers or parents, but also our interactions with extended family, culture, religion, schooling systems, our exposure to the media, whatever belief systems are around at that time, political belief system, we're getting a reference as to what is acceptable and what is not acceptable about us.
Okay. That's it.
Now, during this, and we gain this information based on, you know, whether there's parts of us that are judged, or certain expressions that we express that aren't well received, certain things that we didn't have the space or to be able to do because it was too stressful in the circumstances that we're in, that we had to prioritize using other parts of us.
Mm.
Like we didn't have enough space to be able to be creative and, you know, express that. We had to, you know, take care of our mom. You know, there's a war zone going on. We have to survive anxiety. You know, we're in that flight energy. So we didn't gain that connection to that creative part of us. Now, what's happening then is because we're prioritizing what we need to adapt to adapt to those circumstances, there's parts of us that get orphaned.
Yeah.
So we'll call these the orphan parts of us. And these are the parts of us that then get pushed into the shadow. And there's multiple reasons for that. One, because we don't need them, because based on the circumstances that we're in at that time, it's not that useful for us to be creative, for example. Or we need to push them away because they're so shameful.
Yeah.
Because whenever we cry, we get judged, and it's bad to cry, and it's weak. It's risky. So if we express that emotion around our caregivers or at school, whatever, there's a chance that our social status is at threat, or physically we may get abused, or we may be verbally abused, whatever it is, or we may be abandoned and rejected and just kind of, you know, parental caregiver like shuts down and doesn't give us love in that moment. So it becomes an act of love for ourselves to create this shadow, to make it unconscious, to lock it away and push it away. So it's during these early developmental years where we're actually creating a large part of our shadow. So when people are doing this type of work where they're experiencing some type of surface layer manifestations in their life, whether it be an addiction or projecting at their partner or feeling anxious in a social situation or whatever it may be, you can start to dive a little bit deeper into it to understand what the underlying dynamics are of it. But then it most cases will eventuate to your inner child.
Mm.
How it connects to your experiences there.
Mm. So without getting too experiential or somatic, but maybe who knows, maybe we will. I guess it's like, so I'm there, you know? You've somehow taken me back to now I'm visualizing that part of me. Now, I don't know how to be in relationship with this young version of me. And I've actually rejected it and abandoned it by choosing all the other things that I deemed more important, or I'm so unavailable to my own emotions, or I'm just not willing to kind of face the path of resistance and choose the path of least resistance most days. So then you've got me to a point where I'm kind of willing and open to go there, and now I'm here.
Yeah.
Where do you take me from there?
Good question. All right. So, and this is where a lot of people stay. A lot of people get to that point where they're aware, oh, my God, this happened in childhood. You know, my dad abandoned me, and that's why I have an abandonment wound, and it shows up in my relationships. Like, you know, people have – this is what I'd call gaining awareness.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And intellectualizing your past experiences, okay?
Straight up instead of in the heart.
Right, okay, which is great. It's a step required, especially if you're taking more of a top-down approach, which is where you're intellectualizing things before you're getting to the somatic component of it, which is processing and digesting the experience and feeling and returning back to that state of calm. So that's step one, really important. So if anyone listening, if you're at that stage, great. But I do want to say that staying at this stage can be you can induce yourself in a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
Because not only now are you still repeating the same behaviors, because simply being aware isn't enough for it to change, but you're aware of how you are repeating the same patterns. And that can cause a lot of conflict with yourself if you don't move forward from that point. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
I call it the double-edged sword of awareness, you know, because now that I know what I'm doing, one of my clients said this a hilarious thing that makes so much sense. He's like, when it's like you are, you know, you're in a double-sided mirror and you're, you know, being interviewed and you're talking and you are about to do the same shit that you normally do. Awareness is banging on the glass being like, you know this. Don't do what you're about to do. Stop. You know that if you say what you're about to say or if you do what you're about to do, it's going to feel like shit and it's going to come with consequences. So we know it's there. You can kind of hear the banging, but we go, yep, I did the thing, you know, or whatever. So I think that for me is definitely been a lot of my experiences because, you know, I am very aware, but then I slip back into my same old shit and then get the same old result.
Yeah, bro. The way I like to describe awareness is it's like the architect that creates the blueprints to the building.
Yeah.
Right. Now they've intellectualized everything, every fucking square centimeter, and you know, this is where this is gonna be and this is the shape, and they've got it all in the blueprint.
Yeah.
And they're just so aware of that. But they don't have the manpower, the tools, the ability and the skills to be able to actually integrate the structure and build it. That's the role of the builder.
Yeah, make it
happen. That's what integration would be. Okay. So many people have got all the blueprints, are like, yeah, I know what attachment style I am and, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's like, great. Okay. Yeah. You got the blueprints, but you got to build a house, right? So that's actually, and that's what I think the work component of this is. It's not just intellectualizing everything, it's part of it. You know, you need to have awareness of it, but you also need to move forward from that point. And I think the reason why a lot of people struggle with that is because it means you've got to feel things. You've got to feel discomfort. You have to feel these experiences that were very overwhelming for you that you couldn't feel at that time. So, and it makes sense. So it's very understandable. This is why I think it's important for people to be compassionate and just patient with themselves from that point. Now, back to your question. So what do you do from that point? Okay, you got the awareness. From that point, what I like to work on is their relationship with that part of them. Yeah. What's their relationship like with that part of them? So this would bring in another part. Okay. So it's like you're, and I like to do parts work with my clients. I get them to like embody different parts of them and observe their relationship with themselves. This just helps them understand what might be going on inside of them. So we have a part of them that's struggling with something, some type of basic human need isn't being met. You know, let's say it's showing up in the form of social anxiety, and the anxiety is there to protect them and keep them hypervigilant, to be hypersensitive to the environment, to observe their behavior and other people's reactions to it so that they can be accepted by others. And it links into past experiences of whenever they would speak their truth with their family, they would get judged and shut down and told that what they were expressing is wrong and it's bad. So now they become hypervigilant and socially anxious in these environments as a way to protect them from that original imprint and wound happening again. So that's what's happening now on the surface. Mm-hmm. Now, once they're aware of that, they may actually get into a relationship with this part of them where they judge that part of them for being socially anxious. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm in a social environment. Oh, why aren't I confident? Oh, I'm being socially anxious. Why am I doing that? I'm not a kid anymore. Everything's fine. I'm safe. Mm. You know, why is this repeating itself? Like, stop living in the past. Like, oh, there it is again. Oh, I can't let go. They get into a relationship with this part of them where it becomes really logical, and they begin to actually judge that part of them for displaying this adaptation. But what does that do? It exacerbates the experience and it compounds the stress and anxiety that they feel. So the first thing would then be is to get them aware of their relationship with that part of them, because that other part of them that's in a relationship with it would call that the manager. It's like, how are you trying to manage that part of you? Now, this is generally where a lot of people I find get huge confronting breakthroughs, because they may realize that that manager embodies the consciousness of one of their parental figures.
Yeah.
And it's their inner mother, or it's their inner father, or it's that hypercritical part of them that embodies the same traits and words and beliefs that one of their parents did to them. And because of that relationship with their parent, which, you know, we repeat familiar relationships that we had when we were young, because that's what becomes normal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We then repeat it with ourselves. So they're actually in that same relationship with themselves that they had with one of their parental figures at that time. So it's getting them to see, like, holy fuck, I'm doing it to myself. I'm treating my inner child the same way that I felt like it was treated by one of my parents. And I'm judging myself the same way that I was judged when I was young.
You know?
Big bomb. And I think it's a confronting realization for people to have, but I think it's so important because it allows people to be like, fuck, like, I'm actually creating this suffering in my life. And it's not to blame yourself and beat yourself up about it, but it's actually bring that responsibility to yourself, like, wow, okay, I'm doing this. This is how I am doing it. And from there, what I do with my clients is get them not to push away that manager, because the manager can be seen as a really negative, bad part of them. It's like, it's so critical and judgmental. But getting them to connect with that manager and getting them to connect to their inner child in a loving, compassionate way, because your manager really loves you and is just showing you love in a way that's judgmental and critical. Mm. So being able to be compassionate and accepting of that part of you, which in turn is going to heal your mother wound or your father wound, because you're really giving compassion towards one of your parental figures and getting and allowing you to see, like, wow, they actually did love me, but they were just showing me love in this really intense, judgmental, critical way, because that's all they knew, because that's how they were parented. And it's not to say that you have to accept this behavior moving forward and someone can be there blasting you with judgment. You're like, thank you for loving me. But it's just getting you to flip the script on the narrative, because the reason why these experiences become so painful in childhood is because we take it personally and we perceive ourselves as not being enough and not being worthy as a result of it. When really it's like, well, my mom was showing me love in a way that was normal to her, and I can understand that and accept that. But it doesn't mean I have to tolerate it now moving forward, but I can understand that I am actually loved. and therefore I am safe. So we can really change some of those core beliefs and form a better relationship with these different parts of us, so that whenever they emerge, whenever we're in a social environment, we can connect with them and not judge them, and get into this war inside of us. We can just be like, oh, that's that critical part of me. Oh, that's that insecure part of me. And I think that's why my content can be so relatable, because I'm just embodying those parts of me and making fun of them, because I have the same parts of me as well. And that's exactly what acting is, you know, accessing a sub-personality, putting it out there to the surface, and people seeing that going, fuck, I have that same part of me. I relate to that.
You're just describing me. I'm that guy. I'm like, yeah, who's that, man? But yeah, really, really well put. And obviously, you know, we even describing it is so intellectualized and processed. It's kind of just like, here's how we connect to this imaginary little boy, you know. It's not anywhere near what it's like. I mean, I do a lot of psychoeducation on this stuff, and people nod, people also shake their head, and you know, it's like, let me show you, you know, and then we drop in, you know, in a really compassionate way. Very, very different. So yeah, I mean, this whole podcast, everything that I do is exactly what you said. It all comes back down to the meaning we assign to what's happened to us, and therefore the survival mechanism that I did is, I'm not going to blame my parents. I'm going to assume what I'm doing is wrong, and therefore I'm unworthy, and I am not good enough, and I'm not going to ever threaten those relationships and see them in a bad light, because otherwise I'll die. So we drop our authenticity in order to be in relationship, and that just keeps on happening, and we think it's still the same survival that needs to happen as it did when we were young. And I think that can kind of get us in these like stucknesses, and then, you know, those shadows kind of coming out every now and then. So these big programs, and I'd love to be a part of one, but I guess that it's sort of the notion of all what's happening in, definitely in Sydney at the moment, is there's a lot of these big ass workshops, and ice baths, breastwork, movement, sound healing, inner child work, and, you know, really dropping into some big shit. And you're saying there's profound impact in releasing a lot, but I guess where what are your thoughts on then after that? Well, I go back into my day, I go back into my world, I go back into my community, where not everyone's thinking the same way, not everyone's cheersing me with cacao. So what do I do when there's worth starts coming back in, and how do I live with authenticity, and how do I start to have that relationship with those parts of me to keep coming back to, I actually am worthy to be here? That's a fucking good question. Sorry.
No, it's a good question. I've asked myself that different times as well, and I'm happy to answer it, bro. First of all, I think all these types of modalities, breathwork, ice baths, you know, inner child work, somatic releases, ecstatic dance, you know, cacao ceremonies, all these different things, they're amazing, they're beautiful, and they're great for bringing you into your body. They're great for normalizing presence, like what it feels like to be present.
Yeah.
They're great for being able to regulate your nervous system, you know, just all these ways in which you can come back to self, which is amazing, and I highly recommend doing any of these modalities if any of them specifically align to you. Now, what I do want to say is, though, what can happen is when people begin to start getting these breakthroughs and these moments of presence and clarity, is they begin to identify themselves with it. Okay, so they identify themselves with the peace, the wow, love in the whole universe, abundance, and you know, we're all one and all this sort of stuff, which is all true, and I believe in all that stuff. But what happens is then, because they're identifying themselves with this, it means that any of these moments where they get triggered and they have a day where they, you know, that social anxiety comes back, or, you know, they don't want to speak to people, or they want to say a good fuck you to someone as a way to set a boundary, you know, or you know, there's someone that is just, or they start feeling jealous, or, you know, any of these, you know, different emotions that can be perceived as low vibrational or, you know, negative or bad, is it begins to shatter their this new sense of self that they've created by doing the work. And, you know, what we can call this is we can call it a spiritual ego. We can call it a, you know, a persona that we've created that we've now identify ourselves as because we're now doing the work. Mm. And that can be really challenging navigating through that. Mm. And I think it's a normal part of the process. But I think what you want to do is just accept and acknowledge that, you know, your anger, your jealousy, your sadness, you know, all these different emotions and states that you can be in and your triggers, it's part of the human experience. Like, just because you've gone and have had a few moments where you've gained presence of safety, it's not going to bypass that experience for you for the rest of your life. You know, this is, yeah, these are things that are going to happen. And what I think has been really helpful for me is just me embracing all these parts of the human experience, actually seeing them all as love and redefining what love is to me. Love isn't like this, you know, feeling of oneness, presence, and safety. Like, that's like, love for me is envy. Because what is envy? Envy is me looking at someone else going, you know, I want that. Mm. You know, I want what this person has. And why could there be love in that? Because it's showing me something that I'm capable of doing and achieving or unlocking within myself. There's a part of me there going, hey, you know, I want to come out and do some of that, as we were talking about in the beginning of this, it's called, and that's love. That's great. Like, I'm doing a lot of training right now, and I've got a friend of mine who's also doing a lot of training in boxing, and he told me he's training 5 days a week. You know, he's, you know, and I was doing like twice a week. And when he told me that, I started to get a bit insecure and go, fuck, like, I'm not training that much. And, you know, he's getting better than me and blah, blah, blah. You know, that whole, you know, thought process that we have sometimes. And, you know, rather than going, no, you know, you shouldn't think like that, Charles. You know, don't compare yourself to anyone else. We're all in our own journey. Like, that's great. That's beautiful. But rather I'm like, you know what? I'm going to feel this. And since then, I've been training 5 days a week consistently, and I'm getting better. And I haven't had this drive and motivation for training in a long time. So it's like, cool. It's energy. Use it. That's your body activating some energy there. That's love. It's like, cool, cool, cool. Come on, reach your highest potential. Mm. And great. If envy is going to give me that, beautiful, beautiful. I'll use it. No problem. Same thing as anger. Anger is a boundary defense mechanism. It's there to, you know, give us a signal within our instincts that, hey, this person's crossing our boundary. It's not bad as well. Anger, you will generally start to feel angry if you're giving a lot and you're not receiving much in return. So if you're someone who's a, you know, a people pleaser and you're so focused on meeting other people's needs, if you start to feel a bit angry in your general day-to-day life, chances are you're giving too much and you've got to start receiving some more. So it's an instinctual signal there to give you a reference of, and guiding you through life. Like, that's love. Mm. So I found just formulating a better relationship with these parts of me has now just made my human experience a whole lot better. And it hasn't made this journey something where I'm trying to bypass these feelings and these emotions. And also it hasn't created this separation between, like, you know, the conscious world and the unconscious world and the matrix. And it's like, it's all connected. It's all part of it. Like, you know, I hope that answers your question.
Mate, it definitely does in several different ways, which is really nice. But yeah, I think that's definitely it for me as well, because, you know, there'll be big times where I'm in big process, and then there'll be subtle times and little times where gratitude or shame or anger or love is there to also then go, here's how I show up with that and it all being part of it. And it's kind of like, I guess, the hum of what you're kind of talking about is there's no recovered. There's no healed. It's just ongoing mindfulness and observation of what the fuck's going on in the world and how I'm showing up in it, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I hope that us talking about this, if anyone listening, doesn't discourage anyone. It's like, what do you mean there's no point of recovered or healed? It's like, what's the fucking point of being on this journey now if there's no point I'm going to get to where it's all going to be worthwhile? I get that as well. Look, I do want to say, though, that it's like the healing work that you're doing is allowing you to transcend and evolve and grow into the next stage of your being. And that's going to give you certain results. It may be better health, better communication, better relationship, better business, better finances, you know, better family dynamic, you know. But it doesn't mean that once you get to that point where you've, you know, you've gained all that growth, that there isn't going to be more for you to achieve and more for you to grow and more for you to evolve into. So see that triggers that come after that and the shadows that you're going to be conscious of as opportunities for you to grow into the next stage in your journey. Like, you know, you've never reached your final form. The way I like to describe it is like, by the time I'm 90 years old, I want to look back at when I was 80 and go, he was so cute back then. He thought he was all wise and he thought he knew everything, but fucking little did he know there was more.
Yeah.
And why not? Like, I think that's a sign of a healthy brain. Like, it means your brain is going through that process of neuroplasticity and it's creating new neural pathways. It's, you know, you're definitely learning more. You're not forgetting more as you're going, as you're growing and aging. Like, you're actually learning more about yourself. And that's great. That's amazing. Like, who doesn't want that?
Yeah. And that's a really nice way of putting it, and an important one for people, because once they get to that point where it's like, all right, I've unlocked or I've discovered or I've realized a few things, especially with addiction, right? It's like, okay, fuck yeah, I'm in recovery now. I don't drink and I don't drug. Then they get in a relationship, you know, and they're like, oh my God, I thought I had a problem with drinking, you know. And then that level of recovery starts. It's like, you know, so many people going through these processes going, when does it end? And adding labels to themselves. But it's all, the more light that we shine on it, the more there is to kind of move or mold ourselves around it to become, yeah, better in ourselves. And they're not being some destination of worth, because, you know, that's, I guess, what we get stuck in, is worth being external, but it's internal, and it's how we just are for who we are and where we're meant to be, and we can keep evolving and all of that stuff. We need goals. We need to look forward, and then also just be in it when we're in it, whether that be difficult or beautiful. Yeah, I'm feeling pumped now.
It's a good conversation. I can the energy is quite high in this conversation, which is really cool, and yeah. I'm really picking up that lighthearted energy that you have, and it's beautiful, bro. I like it, man. I've really enjoyed talking about this with you, bro. You've really made it easy for me to bring these parts of me out and share this message.
Yeah, I love that. And it's interesting, and this is probably just observational about people listening. You know, the more you connect, it seems the more like it kind of grounds you, and that's really beautiful. It softens you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm so energized. It's so activated in like, what are we doing, dude? Let's fucking join a bloody soccer team together.
Let's start a cult, man.
Let's start this fucking cult. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's like that gang. Let's get the gang back together.
Yeah. Spiritual conscious gang.
Yeah. No guns. yeah, dude. Look, where can people hit you up? What's going on for Charles at the moment?
Beautiful, bro. All right. So a few different things. Firstly, if you just want to connect with me on social media, my name is Charles Missy, last name MYSSY. You can go on any social media channel and just hit me up there. I'm quite active on Instagram. That tends to be the one I'm mainly using. If you just want to engage with a bit more of my message and my content, watch some of my creative reels. I'm sure that you'll enjoy them. Otherwise, if you're looking to dive a bit deeper and actually do some of the work that I do. I facilitate an inner child workshop every 3 weeks. If you just go on my Instagram or social media, you can just click the link in my bio and it will give you all the information of how you can register for the next event. Goes for about 3 hours on a Saturday. It's really deep and immersive when we actually go through that process of shadow work and connecting with the inner child and integrating all the parts. Beautiful, nice, wholesome workshop.
Face-to-face or online, Charles?
Online.
Online? Okay, beautiful.
That one's online. If you're looking to connect with me face-to-face, I facilitate the drumming circle in Bondi every Sunday, weather-dependent. Starts from 3 p.m. onwards till sunset. It's a beautiful ceremony and honestly just a mad party where everyone just lets go, goes off. I'd recommend definitely coming to that, especially if you want to connect with some other like-minded people in a sober atmosphere and just learn how to connect and feel safe in your body. It's great for that. I've got a retreat coming up on the 21st of July to the 23rd. Beautiful retreat. Again, it's not going to be all serious where we got to sit in, you know, silence and meditation position the whole time. It's going to have elements of that, but we're going to have a DJ there and a party and drums. It's going to have a nice balance between the two because, you know, having fun is healing. Let's remember that, everybody. It doesn't have to be super serious the whole time. That's it. So if you're interested in coming there, you can hit me up on via message, social media, or via email. charles@tribar.com.au, T-R-I-B-R, if you just want to hit me up there about any inquiries. So, yeah, that's where people can reach me.
Beautiful, man. I'll put all that up in the little spots that things go up. And, we'll post a few of this stuff out there to the world as we go as well to reach more people and spread this awesome message that you have, Charles. Absolute honor to have you, man. I really am curious and keen to see how we keep connecting and collaborating, and I would love to jump into some of that work with you as well. I think it would benefit a lot of people. So, yeah, thanks so much for coming down, Charles.
Bro, thank you. I just want to say thank you very much, Jackson, for having me here and introducing me to your community. Really enjoyed this podcast. You got a great energy, and I can see why. You know, you've got your own clinic. You know, you're doing great things because of your energy, bro. It's amazing. So keep up that work. And I just want to say a big thanks to everyone who tuned in here to listen to my story and listen to us ramble on a bit about this whole experience that we're in. Thanks for being a part of it.
Cheers. Do you want to find out more about how therapy can help you kick some goals? Go check out findreasontherapy.com.au or the Find Reason Therapy Instagram page.